Realignment is taking over college athletics, but one thing that's being overlooked is basketball. Will realignment turn Baylor into a national powerhouse to win championship after championship? This is Locked On Baylor.
You are Locked On Baylor, your daily podcast on the Baylor Bears, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to Locked On Baylor. Drake Toll alongside Brandon McKinnon with our Daily Bears. Thanking you for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every single day, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday over the course of summer. Brandon, I'm sure you're having a much better week than I am. Yours truly is positive. Woo. Yeah, it's been quite the last 24 hours or so, but I feel great. Still feeling fine, hoping that stays the same way. And you know what else is great to me? Baylor basketball, segue, and Baylor basketball over the course of realignment. Because look, will the Big 12 implode? Will the Pac-12 implode? Will the ACC implode? All this jazz is going on, but it feels like there's one constant that everyone's overlooking, the small pearl inside that little clam, huh? Cape Cod, and that's Baylor basketball. Because it just feels like Scott Drew, whatever he's doing, is not going to stop.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, man. Like, if I know we're diving into alignment, but on the Scott Drew is not going to stop front, what comes to my mind immediately is recruitment, building a brand, new stadium, out of conference, huge games.
I mean, that'll preach.
Scott Drew is literally turning Baylor into the equivalent of these teams that TV stations can't help but broadcast, right? Yeah. I mean, we have the out of conference game with Gonzaga. We had Davion Go Lotto last year, Sohan this year. From what we saw from Keontae George, likely Keontae next year. And then Jacoby Walker and Miro Little coming in 2023. It's just interesting to think about, especially from an alignment standpoint or realignment standpoint, because we're going to inevitably, I think it's fair to say, we don't know, Drake, you don't know, I don't know, who is going to now be in the Big 12, Pac-12, ACC, whatever. We're going to play new teams that have historic teams in that conference, no matter what happens. And I think it's just going to be interesting to see where Baylor fits, and it doesn't look like the train is stopping. You're either on or you're off, and it's going to keep going. And I think it's going to be talent running through Waco and the new field house on the Brazos. It's going to be beautiful. So no, I don't know. What are your thoughts? I mean, it depends on who joins and who doesn't. Like, throw out some hypotheticals.
So this is the first hypothetical I want to get to, because Bovada has Baylor like plus 400 odds to join the SEC. Fourth best odds of anyone in the country.
Not a betting man, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Which we can't. Baptists, betting, two B's don't go together. Exactly. I was thinking, though, there's no way Baylor goes to the SEC. This has been my thought process the last 2 weeks. And then when Vegas was like, hey, guy, we know a lot more than you do, and we don't think it's that far out of the picture, I was like, okay, I will start listening to what this would be like. And I started thinking, Baylor football in the SEC. Look, if I'm being honest, gun to my head, perennially 8-4, a good 10-4, 10-2 season every now and then, 6-6 every 5 years or so. But then I started thinking, okay, what about basketball? If Baylor goes to the SEC in basketball, this could become like their sport in the same way that Kentucky is in the SEC, where they just rise to the top in that, and they're pretty good in baseball every now and then, football's here and there. But I think Baylor in basketball in an SEC move would be nuts.
It would be crazy, especially with the increased talent that the Must Bus is bringing in Arkansas, and Bama's, consistently good. As a Celtics fan, I'm a Bama guy now. JD Davison, he's looked bad in summer league, but I'll ride it. You know, like you mentioned, Kentucky, LSU, like, they're retooling even after a crazy kind of clean of house. And I think it would be interesting to see. I mean, you have to think the SEC championship would shake out pretty regularly to Baylor versus Kentucky as essentially a play-in for a number one seat. Yeah. If you think, like, in reality, that's what it would become. The football piece obviously would concern me because of what you said. Like, if we go 8-4 and that's kind of typical 6-6 on a down recruiting year, injuries, and if we really outperform 10-2, I prefer the Big 12 schedule. Right. I mean, frankly. But from a basketball standpoint, I think because of the clout that the Big 12 brings from a basketball conference standpoint, I mean, I know Bill Walton's going to say it's the Pac-12. I know your biased folks at ESPN are going to say ACC, Big 10 with blue bloods. But if you look at teams from a conference standpoint, top to bottom, that are consistently in the KenPom or Evan Maya top 64 that should be in the tournament, the Big 12 is sending 6 to 8 teams every year. And we only have 10 teams, it's It's insane. So if there was any sort of merger or realignment with SEC, I don't see a scenario where Baylor goes by themselves. I think somebody else goes. And so there's depth top to bottom in the conference, and I think it would make the basketball landscape in the SEC very interesting. And who knows, maybe on the football side, recruiting increases because now it's, I want to go to an SEC school of Baylor, you know?
Well, that's the one thing with the SEC. If Baylor was to go to the Southeastern Conference, it would be football would feel out of place. It just would, because any new team in the SEC in football that doesn't have the brand of Oklahoma or Texas, a big state school, is going to feel kind of weird or funky being there. But then you get in the middle of basketball season, you think, we're supposed to be here. This is the you know, we are kind of the mecca of college basketball now, not the Southeastern Conference, in that look back at Baylor's Final Four appearance: UCLA, Gonzaga, Baylor, Houston. 1, 2, 3. No SEC teams. Yeah. Villanova, Duke, North Carolina, Kansas. No SEC teams. I mean, Virginia, Texas Tech. You're looking at Big 12 teams that are running the table in college basketball. Baylor would do that in the SEC. But what's obviously much more likely is a merger between the Pac-12 and the Big 12, meaning schools like Oregon, pretty good basketball powerhouse, Dana Altman. Washington, not great at basketball. Utah, middle of the pack. You got both the Arizona schools, Colorado as well. Both the Arizona schools can bring their own. Obviously, Arizona last season has been really good. And in that case, especially with the addition of UCF and Cincinnati and Houston, holy crap, you're looking at a basketball powerhouse among powerhouses of conferences.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think what's cool, if we peel back the onion, if we look at not only the games within themselves, which I think obviously that's where our brains go, but think about recruiting, right? Like if that merger, those teams you had named, joined the Big 12 or whatever the new conference would be called, James Akinjo now plays for Baylor, who was at Arizona.
Yeah.
Right. You now have Langston Love, who is being recruited by a number of those Pac-12 schools at Baylor. You have guys like, you know, I mean, he's in the NBA now, but Josh Christopher went to Arizona State. That would have been a marquee matchup against the team that Baylor had that won the national championship. You're talking Jared Butler.
2019, Arizona Baylor, 2019, Big 12 championship day.
It would have been insane. And then Oregon, we played in a non-conference game this past year. We went to Eugene, and it was an incredible game. It really was great. And a number of Big 12 guys had transferred to Oregon, so it was familiar. I think the merger would be great. I mean, even if I'll throw Washington a bone, they had Markel Fultz, whatever. But I think that if it
whatever happened to that guy,
So I mean, again, as I said, I'm a Celtics fan. They traded out. That's when they picked Tatum. You know, I'm pivoting to Locked On Celtics, but we'll leave that for our boy John Corrales. Second listen every day. Locked On Baylor is our first listen every day.
Very nice.
But I think the schools you named, even Utah's made a run. It would become the true like basketball powerhouse conference, which would be really interesting from a recruiting standpoint, because it's like, yes, you're being recruited by, you know, Indiana, let's say, in the Big Ten, which is a historic brand, but do you want to come compete against the best, show you're that top guy, and then be a lottery pick? I think that's going to be ultimately Scott Drew, Coach Brooks, Coach Jacobs's sell, is we are perennially putting guys in the top 14 draft picks. Do you want to be a part of it against some historic programs? But what are your thoughts?
Even older guys too, by the way, Davion Mitchell. This isn't just to come be a one and done and be a lottery pick, but also come play 3 years college basketball and still be a lottery pick. And where I want to wrap up this one with a bow before we get into Baylor against the world, literally, Brandon, does conference realignment, especially these likely scenarios of a Pac-12, Big 12 merger where the Big 12 just resorbs the top six schools in the Pac-12 or even Baylor to the SEC, does it make it's going to make the basketball schedule harder, going to make it much more exotic too, because you can't really pod that out near as easily. You're going to have to make those trips to Tucson, Arizona, or Eugene, Oregon, or Seattle. Yeah. Does it make Baylor more of a national power or give them even more of an edge to win a national championship yearly?
Yeah, I really think it does, because when you look at where all of these recruits are going, I kind of nerd out on the recruiting thing, which quite frankly is a bit embarrassing as a guy in his late 20s diving into where 17-year-olds are choosing to spend 1 year of their life. But I digress. I think you're looking at recruiting and it's a brand issue. And it's not only a brand of where you're choosing to go, but it's a brand of where you go and who they play. And the more big names that Baylor stacks on the schedule, I think that's why we see Scott Drew putting so many solid non-conference opponents and Mac Rhodes putting so many solid non-conference opponents on the schedule. That is a draw. It has to be. I mean, you think that guys, and I'm looking forward to 2023, like Miro Little and Jacoby Walker aren't like, oh, Baylor is playing Gonzaga in December, the year before I come there. I wonder who they play in my tournament. Because that's what NBA scouts look at. They're not like, oh, you played Nickel State. It's how did you perform against the top tier?
Whoa, hey, hey, top team in the Southland Conference. Watch that.
I know. I apologize to Locked On Nickels. But in reality, like as recruits are looking, it's who am I going to play and how am I going to get better and position myself for the next level? Because if you're going and you have a scholarship to play a college sport, you're looking at the next step as well. Yeah. So I think it does position us well from a recruiting standpoint. Bring in more talent, national powerhouse, another national championship.
According to sources, unless you're Texas, talent typically results in wins.
Well, so, that's a bad coaching thing, Drake.
Yeah, or culture. Coaching or culture. Did you see the Moody Center video?
I loved that retweet. This is them in December. Yes.
Yeah, like five. Yeah. Like packed house at Moody.
Or if we're really pulling the throwback Thursday for the Friday pod. For football, 289, success on and off the field for the GPA. That will never be old.
Oh, or the P meter. The P meter, you're a bad teammate. So much good stuff. I missed Tom Herman for that specifically. But luckily we have Pole Assassin to recover us.
Yep. If I can dive down a rabbit hole real quick.
Why not?
I started my career in manufacturing sales and in Austin, that was my territory. And every manufacturing.
Max Garner.
Yep. Yep. Every manufacturing facility I called on had that hydration meter because all your guys were working in warehouses. So it was reproduced, but I don't think it stuck for talent. That's for
bad
sure.
Teammates. Brandon, Baylor versus the world. The Baylor Bears went to Canada and did some playing of the basketball without like most of their team, by the way. I was like confused, but it went pretty well for those guys. And you know what else goes well for most people? That's when they visit Bet Online. Brandon's not going anywhere. I promise. Today's show is far too entertaining to make him go away. I just have to tell you about betonline.net, your number one source for all your betting and sports info needs right now. If you want to do live betting on MLB games, there's this thing called no run first inning. No run first inning is one of my favorite things. You can go to BetOnline and say the Angels, Shohei Ohtani's pitching, right? That guy's good at baseball. They're playing against the Dodgers, and Clayton Kershaw's pitching, also good at baseball. And I think, is he hurt? He might be hurt. No, he's at the All-Star break. I don't know. Those two guys are pitching. You can bet $25 that neither team will score a run in the first inning. Guess what usually doesn't happen? Those teams don't score runs in the first inning. That's how I make money. I've done that before. Admittedly, I've done it before. You go to BetOnline.net, and you can also see lines, all kinds of stuff for college football and the Big 12, looking forward to this season and games this season. So go to BetOnline.net, at least look even at some of the odds, looking forward to this next college basketball, college football, college whatever season, if that's what floats your boat. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. Go check out Bet Online. It is where the game starts. Brandon, they asked Baylor, the United States did, the president called and said, Scott Drew, it is up to you to defend our great nation in Canada against the basketball powerhouses of the world. And they almost beat the whole world, but they looked good in the process of not beating the whole world.
Yeah, I know. You and I were texting about this during the tournament. We were like, if we beat the whole world, we have to pod immediately.
Insufferable.
Like, it has to happen.
Yeah.
And then we also said if they don't, we also need to do that. But then life got in the way. So here we are. I mean, I think I also fell into the camp on Baylor Twitter of freaking out, officiating, you know, all of the excuses because I'm
weird,
a fan.
Weird ball.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw, but I got into a bunch of dialogue about how bouncy that FIBA ball looks, man.
Why do they have that? Why do they do that to those guys?
Why are FIBA rules different than I don't know. Gosh. See, now you're winding me up about international regulation. Like you're going to get me on inches versus metrics.
America's the best, right? America's first in basketball.
It is. Unfortunately, potentially not against the world in Global Jam, but What I think is interesting is we really saw the team come together, right? I think in round robin play, we saw a lot of just inexperience, new guys playing together. There were, if I went back and watched some of the highlights on YouTube and some of the full game clips, and there were just a lot of instances of missed cuts or a cut and the pass was there, or, you know, the screen wasn't high enough and we didn't really seal the primary ball defender. And so those are things that are going to work out. And frankly, I'm happy what happened right now instead of in October, November, December, yeah, when the you know, the off or the regular season starting. So it was interesting to see. I think there are a number of players to highlight and discuss. Like, obviously, Adam Flagler, LJ Cryer, Langston Love, and Everyday John, you know, kind of TBD on EJ's timeline. But those four guys who will be primary contributors, if healthy, were not there. So you essentially cut 40% of our top 10 rotation, which Drew typically runs 9 or 10 guys, weren't playing. And we still went to the championship game of Global Jam. I think it was really great to see some of the younger guys shine. Drake, what do you think?
I thought it was weird. It was funky watching the first game, because you're like, you know, you get Caleb Lohner out there, and it was like, oh, but he's not really in a Baylor jersey. It's like this weird, funky white Team USA thing. And it was like, oh, you know, this just feels like not very Baylor. Then you go to the ESPN thing, it's like Baylor, and then have the Brazilian flag. Yeah. And I was like, this is just funky. Everything's going on right now. I don't know if I'm really comfortable with. But there was two words that when put together in the same sentence were unstoppable, world beater. First of those words is being George. You may think curious. There's all kinds of things. You could think king. The second of those words is Keontae, which I don't have a segue for. But if you put those,
you know, if you just misspell, if you, you know, if, yeah, couple, yeah. Mm,
if you flip a few, yeah. But then if you kind of rearrange those, it turns into Keontae George, which is a name that has now scared everyone in basketball, including the basketball gods.
Yeah. I mean, after, this is no lie, after the first day of Global Jam, I got a call on my phone
from Keontae George.
No, but his mom did follow me on Twitter after. Hey. Shout out Kristen George. She's a great woman. I did get a call. It's at Baylor University on my phone. And I was like, I know that this is because I've not yet renewed my basketball season tickets. Like, I know that I'm a week away from the deadline. I answer. And sure enough, the Bear Foundation goes, hey, I'm not sure if you've been watching Global Jam. Keontae George has had a great game. Are you interested in renewing your Baylor basketball season tickets? I was like, I am. Yes. And so Keontae George has become a household name. I think
marketing.
He That's looked, good. Could he have looked better? I mean,
no,
I don't think so. I personally loved the two technical fouls in his first game. I think I got fired up on Twitter about that. As a guy who received many intramural technical fouls, because that's the peak performance for me at Baylor, I love that he showed the heart. I think he has the coachability. If anybody watched Keontae any time he checked out of the game, which I think the ESPN Plus app, once the game was done abouting to start, did a really good job of like kind of panning to him and seeing kind of the whole court. He went and sat right beside Tweety Carter almost every time he got subbed out, which was sick. For any Baylor fans, seeing him get coached up immediately upon hitting the sidelines was incredible. He showed all of the raw athletic ability, and if he puts it together mentally, I think it's going to be scary hours for the Big 12 for sure.
Can we get on a tangent here about how, and if you're listening to this podcast and you didn't watch it, go watch highlights of Baylor versus Canada or Brazil or any of the Italy, any of these teams. It was supposedly these under 23 teams that they were playing.
It was the IM12 guys from Benchwarmers. They had the crowd.
I don't think that was a thing, was it? Can we confirm that these guys were like 29 former NBA players?
they Brazil subbed in Thiago Splitter, their coach. Shout out to our Spurs fans. No, so I couldn't find any like ages for sure on the teams, but a number of the teams, their players had 4+ years of pro experience. So
yeah,
assuming they entered the pros at 18, they're at least 22. I mean, we were definitely playing, I think, guys that had some serious experience above what Baylor did. And even in our losses, we went wire to wire. I mean, there was, you know, that crazy Marcus Carr three. We made a run against Italy. We looked fine against Brazil in our round robin game. And then, you know, moving through to the finals was a big plus. So I think it's nothing but positives for Baylor Nation to take from it going into the season.
You said something off the air that said D'Antuan Grimes, and in the same sentence with Davion Mitchell. Both of those names do start with a D. Is there any other correlation that makes those names go together?
Yeah. So I dove into the depths of YouTube to find Kilgore College highlights, which is, you know, for folks that don't read the, I'm sorry to do the plug, but don't read the Our Daily Bears, you know, player analysis and stuff. I watched 3 hours of D'Antoine Grimes' video and I was like, this guy. And then I watched Davion Mitchell video from high school and when he was at Auburn. And I was like, this is similar. The first step, the hard dribble, the effort, the frame, and the defense. I'm by no means saying that in 2 years under Drew's system that D'Antoine Grimes will be a lottery pick. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
What I'm saying is from a defensive scheme perspective, D'Antoine can bring that on-ball defense that Davion brought from a hustle perspective. He can bring to the offensive end of the court that quick step, that see you later. As Drake has said on the baseball broadcast, that good morning, good afternoon, good evening.
Yeah.
See ya on the first dribble, leave his guy. He has that in his bag. I think with some coaching and some refinement at a high level, D'Antoine has the potential to be a Davion Mitchell type player, is what I think. In addition to having that dog in him, as the kids say.
Yeah, the kids are saying that a lot now. You like D'Antoine and Dale Bonner, big Dale Bonner truther, I'm hearing sources say.
Big Dale Bonner guy. I think he found a jump shot. That may have not been there. It looked okay. Maybe he just likes the FIBA ball. We bring that.
He hit a couple shots against UNC. Remember that time? He did that one time.
Yeah, Dale looked good. It looked like he was just playing with more confidence. And I don't know if that stems from last year. I mean, James Akinjo did a lot of great things for Baylor. I'm not looking back and slandering a Bear. But I think Akinjo was such a ball-dominant player. And then you had guys like Sohan and Kendall Brown that really needed the ball in their hands off cuts or on post-ups to succeed. That Dale might have been hesitant. I don't know, right? But Dale looked very confident and assertive of, I know my role. I'm going to go get mine. He played really well.
So, Brandon, I'm not going to tiptoe around this very much. Our friend Flo Thamba, at times in his career, has not looked the best at the whole basketball thing sometimes. Other times, though, big games especially, you're like, holy crap, who is this guy? April 5th, 2021, you're like, wow, this is the best player on the floor against Gonzaga was freaking Flo Thamba. Yeah. Are you worried about Baylor's big men this season?
I'm glad you went here because in my mind I was like, I want to talk the forwards. Primarily, I want to get to Josh Ojemwuna. Yeah. In a second, we'll talk Flo Thamba. Flo has this thing where he shows up in the biggest games, right? You mentioned the national championship game against Gonzaga when he was quite literally Drew Timmy's father. And then if you think back to last year against Kansas at home, the second time we played Kansas, Flo looked great. It's so difficult to pinpoint. Like when I write for ODB and I'm doing the player analysis, I just don't know what version of Flo we're going to get.
Yeah.
And all of the physical ability is there. I don't know if it's he checks out or what happens, but I'm not concerned about him because when it matters the most, he shows up. Even in games where he could have a horrendous first half, and I still think he's going to go out in the second and get us 6 rebounds and play great defense and do the patented Flo Thamba, draw a charge at the perimeter, makes no sense, we're all confused, all that.
Yeah.
Further on the big men, Josh Ojemwuna is him. I have been a Josh Ojemwuna truther since we signed this guy. I have been on board. I'm documented on text threads with my buddies who also have season tickets. I wrote about him. I think he is the guy. God forbid EJ's out long term. I am confident with Josh being our center off the bench. We saw his touch around the rim. We saw his defense in the paint and at the perimeter. We saw passing ability. We saw some sort of quasi connection with Keontae where he hit him on a number of pick and rolls. This dude literally got his visa approved halfway through Global Jam, showed up and gave us a double-double basically. I mean, I'm so high on Josh Ojemwuna. It's ridiculous. I'm not concerned about our big men. I'm not concerned about our guards. If we stay healthy, we're going to the Final Four and we're competing for a national championship in Houston. That's my opinion. Yeah.
I was going to go. That was my next question. I hate that you did that. My next question was, do you know where the Final Four is? Which I knew you were going to. And I was going to segue in. You were going to say Houston. I was going to say Houston. I was going to say, you know what that's close to. And you're going to say Waco. And I was going to say Waco, which still applies. Houston's still close. So, Brandon, last question that I want to give you here that's serious. And then, I don't know, we have like 4 minutes left. So we can talk about whatever. Buy or sell Baylor Bears undefeated national champions basketball this season?
Undefeated's tough, bro.
Ah,
I hate to deflate the balloon, but
was it 72 Indiana?
Yeah,
take me back. That season was great.
Everyone's bound for a little bit of a stinker, you know. But I think I'm very confident. I don't think we gave Keyonte enough praise. So yeah, we have 4 minutes left. If we could dedicate that to talking about Keyonte George and some highlights, it'd be great. Because I think that will directly impact how we play. Mm. Like, he's probably going to be our best player. Defenses are probably going to focus on him, and for good reason. On the record side, we're going to drop some conference games. We might lose in December to Gonzaga playing in South Dakota, which is just absurd, but I'm going to go. But I think Keyonte is going to continue to grow throughout the season to where the best version of Keyonte we see is going to be in March. It's going to be in the Big 12 tournament. It's going to be in the NCAA tournament. What happens in the regular season, it's not necessarily irrelevant, but as long as we're in contention for a one seed, which is absurd to say, it's basically like, are we a top four team or not? I think it's going to happen because I think Adam Flagler is going to do to Keyonte what Jared Butler did Adam Flagler. And I think that it's going to be this mentorship thing where these leaders, LJ even, Langston's been there's so much tenure on the team that to have Keyonte be like, you have all the talent, let's figure out how it plays and how do we fit you in the system. I think they're going to figure it out. So pivoting to what he did in Global Jam, there are three plays I want to highlight specifically, if we can, in the last 4 minutes.
Why not? Yeah.
Play number one. The full court bounce pass in transition to Jordan Turner with his left hand was absurd.
Yeah.
That was in our second game, I believe, or first game. Play number two against Canada in the semifinal game. Again, with his left hand, Keyonte George is right-handed for the listeners that don't get into player dexterity, but we do here at Locked On Baylor. Keyonte George with his left hand had a guy crash hard off the screen. Josh Ojemudia rolled, and he threw a no-look pass with his left hand to Josh for a dunk. That was play number two that I want to highlight. And then play number three, so that's showing that he's willing to facilitate. I want to highlight that first. We all know he can score, but I want to talk about him being able to facilitate. Play number three against, I think it was when we played, I think it was when we played Brazil? Maybe it doesn't matter. When we played one of the countries, Keyonte hit a three in transition, got fouled, and looked at the young man that didn't speak English and said something along the lines of either get off me or you can't guard me. Both of which I'm so in. Keyonte is five probably plus years younger than this man and is like, you cannot guard me. Baylor didn't have that guy last year, in my opinion, that had the mentality of I'm going to get mine when I need to, and that's what you need to win a college basketball national championship. So circling back to your question, I think Keyonte gets us there. Undefeated, I don't know, but I think that the Baylor Bears will win a national championship in 2023 with all the momentum to then bring in the likes of Finland's best Mira Little and Jacoby Walker.
Dude, the Keyonte George show is coming just sitting near you. If you don't know, you're going to know. You're going to know. If you haven't heard already, tell your kids. It's time to stop shielding them. Brandon, for everyone that loved this show today and they want more of your content, where do they go? Where do they find you? I hear you're a hard man to come across sometimes.
I don't viciously tweet my thoughts while watching basketball. You find me on Twitter @Brandon_Mack, and then all my stuff is on Our Daily Bears. This is probably the last you'll hear of me until basketball season. I love Baylor football, but just not the expert, barely the expert on basketball. But Our Daily Bears, check it out. And then @Brandon_Mack on Twitter. I love interacting, love some hoops, and let's get it.
Well, Brandon, thank you for coming on today. Always a pleasure. I like the basketball stuff. We're so far away. John Rothstein probably has that thing. You wouldn't know, though.
Wouldn't know. Drake, why you gotta do that? I'm still blocked by John Rothstein on Twitter.
That's the old block by John Rothstein reference.
Also, a lot of the people that I'm tight with on Twitter are trying to get Fran Fraschilla to agree to an interview with me, another big name. So we're working on that.
We'll find a way. Folks, thanks for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every single day and joining myself, Drake Toll, alongside Brandon McKinnon for today's show. Come back on Monday where it's all things realignment and Big 12 Media Days are going on. Dave Aranda said some stuff to some people at the Big 12 Media Days. This has been, always will be, thanks for joining us today, Locked On Baylor.